I'm trying to sing from, what's the song, the White Christmas? I'm not Bing Crosby, don't get confused, nor am I Danny Kaye. But I would like to turn our attention to the Lord right now with a psalm out of Psalm 96. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wondrous works among all peoples. For the Lord is great and is highly praised. He is feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. And we are in his sanctuary. Let us worship our living God.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our for the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our
for the
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. And you are good, good. Oh, 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 let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire in my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. And you are good, good.
Good. Oh, you are good.
always good. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great breath, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Sing, you give life, you give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great in all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the share. As we're looking at Thanksgiving, let's just finish with this song.
God, thank you that you make the weak strong and that you humble the strong and you make the weak strong and you raise what needs to be, you raise what is lowered and you lower what is raised. You make, as it were, a highway in this world for those who have hearts that are after you. And we thank you for that, God. Thank you that you are a God that is near to us, that tabernacles in our midst. Tabernacle means to I think, basically pitch a tent or to live, to have an abode. And God, we thank you that you have chosen to do that throughout all of history, beginning with the Israelites and now through Jesus to each and every one of our hearts if we so choose to have you in our lives. And you are very near even to those who do not name you. And we just thank you that is true. And so God, today we come before you with our prayers and petitions. God, just pray this week that you'd be with Mike Pichiro, who's here with us again this week. Just pray that you continue to help him heal. Just be with him and Nancy. Pray for Ginny Park, who's had knee surgery and is recovering. Pray for Judy Bupp. This is Joel Ryder's sister, who recently had back surgery and now has knee surgery and is recovering from that. We also, God, we just pray that you'd be with little Colton Dietrich. This is the son of a former coworker of Erica Diener's. Just pray that you'd be with little Colton, who's going through cancer treatment at, I think, 8 months of age, 9 months of age. Just pray that you'd be with little Colton and his family. And God, we pray for the family of Luke Zellers. Luke Zeller is a camp kid of Amy's. Amy brought this to my attention this morning. He's at age 19, Luke suddenly and unexpectedly died from an enlarged heart. So we just pray that you'd be with Luke Zellers and his family. Just pray that you would hold them, lead them, and guide them through this time. And just pray that you'd be with them, God. Man, what a terrible thing to experience. And we know, God, that even so, you are with them. And God, we pray for all of the hunters who will be going out into the woods this coming Saturday, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, for the opening day of rifle season. Just pray that you'd be with all of them. Pray for safety as they hunt. Just protect them, God. And God, we lift up to you the refugee family that we have coming to our parish house apartment. There's been yet another sort of obstacle, if you will. The U.S. State Department is requiring every municipality where these refugees are placed to okay the placement of them. So God, just pray that you'd be with those of us who are going to go to the hearing on Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the evening. Just pray that the borough council would be open and accepting to these refugees being placed. Just pray that that would all go well. And just pray that the refugee family would be able to come here soon. Just pray that the doors would be open for that. And God, we pray for the expectant mothers and children in our midst, for the De Leons, the Martinezes, and for myself and Mary, the Weavers. Just pray that you'd be with all of those mothers and babies represented there. And God, we just pray for the greater world. As I pray almost every week, I pray this prayer, God, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, as you taught us to pray, as you taught the disciples to pray. God, we pray that the light, that your light would come and shine in the dark places of this world. And we know that you desire to live in this world, and this is your temple. And each and every one of us is your temples. And just pray, God, that your light would come and shine, and that your kingdom would come in every corner of this earth. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. I don't know if you noticed, but I know my wife and kids and myself are very excited that we have our first legitimate snow outside. So yeah, it's snowing, it's laying on the driveway. My family loves snow, so some of you may not share that, I understand. but yeah. Okay, good to see you all. I'm going to jump into the announcements here. The new playground, I think I announced this already, the required repairs were made to the installation. It's now sitting at the correct height of where it was supposed to be originally. And coming Tuesday is the rubber mulch that will be placed on the ground around the playground. So we're expecting that by Tuesday, things should be getting there. We do still need to reinstall the fence there. And I'm not sure when the playground will be actually open for use or not, but we'll let you know when that time comes. As I said in the prayers, the parish house apartment, the refugee family, the State Department just recently issued a new requirement for the process for organizations like Church World Service who places refugees. They now have to have the okay or the sign-off from every state and then also from the local municipality where they're placing these refugee families. So that's kind of a new requirement that the federal government is putting in place now. We're hoping that it's not going to be an issue here in Millersville. This would be borough council who would be approving it. I think it's going to be okay, but we never know. So we're praying that that will all go smoothly. And because Church World Service is going through this process of getting the okay from borough council, it doesn't mean, though, that necessarily it doesn't mean that, yes, they're coming really soon. They don't know when they're coming soon. It's just a matter of waiting and hoping and praying that it will be soon. But they don't know yet. That's kind of, you know, when you're working with the federal government, there's no real clear answers a lot of times. So that's a hard thing to know. But we just keep praying that they can come soon. All right, the Harvest Fest, don't forget to mark that out in your calendar. Saturday, November 30th, 4:30. Come on out and join us for a fall meal and games afterwards. Also, Church Work Day, December 7th, 8 to 11 a.m. Please come on out and lend a hand. We'll be cleaning up leaves and things like that. So if you can make it, that would be great. Many hands make light work, as Nancy has taught us. All right, Advent schedule next week. I went over this last week, the Advent schedule. I just wanted to point out to you, you can see the schedule there. It's self-explanatory. But next Sunday will be this first Sunday in Advent. And I'll be preaching next Sunday, and so look forward to that. But next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. Okay, I think that's everything I needed to cover. So now you all can greet one another in Jesus' name.
As I'm going down the staircase right now, so that's kind of fun to stand here and listen. Mildly distracting, but awesome. It's so fun. They have so much fun.
The excitement level went up when they saw snow out of the window.
That's enough to get kids all pumped up.
As did mine.
And this big kid, too.
Oh, mine just went right through the roof. There are certain people who are like, we know her, yeah. All right, so, yeah, I am all about the thankful thing. I'm all about praising God from whom all of our blessings do flow. And if anybody would like to stand, and let's pray the doxology. So stand. It's somewhere in your hymnal, but I'll just run through the words. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Ready? Praise God.
We're sounding a little like a Mennonite church singing a cappella. It's pretty cool. Just before Amy reads the scripture, I will add, I love words, as you know. I'm going to look at a couple of those today in the message. I love to take the meaning of the Greek words and Latin into the English. And doxology comes from two Greek words. Doxa is glory, and logos is word. So we just sang a word of glory to God, or praise to God. Now we're going to hear the Logos, the Word.
So, when I got the text from Ashley, which came before the email, saying that I'd be reading First Chronicles, I'm like, he's giving me names, isn't he? That's my thought. And then I saw First Chronicles 16, and I'm like, it's definitely names. And then I looked, and he actually just told me this morning that he kind of avoided me having to read the names. Does anybody remember the time Anne-Marie had to read the lineage? Which was, yeah, it was one of my favorite things that might have ever happened in this church. And I just always feel like that's going to happen to me one day. And but today's not that day. But anyways, as I was reading through this, I'm like, what is the context? You're going to talk about the context, right? Okay, that's good. Okay, so just recognize that Ark of God, this is praising and thankfulness that came after that. So Just a little context for you before the real context comes. But here we go. 1 Chronicles 16, 7 through 36. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgment from his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. He also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. When they were only a few in number, very few, and strangers in it, and they wandered about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another, he permitted no man to oppress them, and he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and all it contains. Let the field exult, and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord.
Amen, and praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word and for the history of Israel, as we glean from their experiences so much about our own. As our own experience is extended and fulfilled through Jesus, and we live under a new covenant, and at the same time as we were saying, Lord, in Sunday school together today, that there's so much under the old covenant in the history of Israel from which we learn about you and about Jesus and about ourselves. And may that be so today as we begin by looking back into some aspects of Israel's history regarding thankfulness. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So we are through our series on John, and so I have more flexibility to be responsive to the rest of the calendar. And as you all know, this is a big holiday week in our country. It's not celebrated in every country. Obviously, it's something that is part of our national heritage. There are countries who have a lot of Americans there, I think, that do recognize it in some way or another. But at the same time, it is a national holiday. And it's one of my favorite holidays. One, I love turkey. One, I love people, family. And it's a gathering of family and friends a lot of times. And two, I love turkey and such gatherings. And so it's just, and we don't give gifts like Christmas, you know, and it doesn't have a dark theme like Halloween. So I just love Thanksgiving. And as I decided to address Thanksgiving scripturally, I did some searching. I thought, of course, you can take the word Thanksgiving and turn it around and think about giving thanks, which is really the same thing. It's a holiday for giving thanks. And one time I saw a change of the word to thanksgiving, thanksgiving means thanks living, so we should live thankfully. And then I thought about the expression that I often hear. I don't know what you want to call these expressions, but it's like the one that I often have referred to and I struggle with myself as a young person, and that is where you say, "Oh God," and you don't really mean it. You know, you say, "Oh God, I've got to go pick up my car today. Oh God, I got to pay that bill. Oh God, it's too early in the morning. Oh God, why didn't I get to bed earlier? Oh God," and we're not talking to God at all. I think that thanking God can have that same problem. Sometimes we just say, "Oh, thank God my car's ready. Thank God I got up early today. Thank God I'm going to get some extra sleep. Thank God there's a big whatever." Are we really talking about God when we say it that way? I think it becomes an empty expression sometimes. And so I am titling the sermon, "Thank God," but I mean it. And I want to see what it means. And I'm going to go initially to the Old Testament. Now, the context that Amy was asking us for is that this was in the history of David's relationship with the Ark of the Covenant. And I don't want to take a whole lot of time because it is really complex and it's a long history, but there was, God commanded Israel to build an Ark of the Covenant. And there was a mercy seat, it had a special place in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle that the Israelites took with them through the wilderness for 40 years. And then that ark, it spent some time in one person's home. The first time David tried to move it, he didn't follow directions, and somebody who touched it was killed. And we were saying in Sunday school this week and last week, we're looking at the temple, which includes the Ark of the Covenant. And we were noting these 2 weeks in Sunday school that it's amazing how much detail we find in Scripture regarding the temple, the Ark, and all those practices. For example, it says in Scripture you carry the Ark on two poles. And so as they carried the Ark around. Now, where we're picking up the story today, and this is the context that I spared Amy reading for you, because it includes a lot of names, and it's not pertinent to the exact part. It's pertinent to the context, but it's interesting because we're talking about this. I want to tell you, there's so much we talk about in Sunday school that relates to the messages that we're giving up here. I think God is just saying things to us or something. It was not like we planned it that way. If we did plan it that way, it probably wouldn't work. But nonetheless, we've talked about how God dwells with us. And we talked in Sunday school today, as Janelle was leading us, about how there are places that God lives with us. And I love that. Here's what the opening line of the chapter says. "They brought the Ark of God and placed it inside the tent David had pitched for it." So David pitched a tent for the Ark. Now, it was coming to Jerusalem, which was the holy city, and we still call it the holy city, some. It is a holy city. It was a key holy city in these times. And yet the temple had not been built, and it was no longer with the tabernacle, and they had already come into the promised land. The tabernacle was with them in the wilderness. So I said I wasn't going to get in too much detail, but David had pitched this tent for the ark. And this time he followed the command of the Lord, and he brought the ark in the proper way, and it was successfully brought in. Now, many of us remember they were so excited about it that David danced half-naked in front of the ark, and his wife, Michal, wasn't too happy with him because he was so excited about it. It was exciting because this represented for them the presence of God, and it was a big deal. So David, once it got there, he appointed the Levites. Now, if we're familiar with the tribes of the Jews, the sons of Levi, and Levi were, and Aaron was one of these because he was the high priest. They are the priestly group of Jews. And so he commanded the Levites to be ministers before the Ark of the Lord to celebrate the Lord God of Israel and to give thanks and praise to him. That's verse 4. So we see that David was so happy about this ark that he commissioned people to go before the ark every day with songs, with music, instruments, and with words of praise because he wanted to give thanks. It says in the beginning of the lesson today, on that, this is verse 7 where we picked up today, on that day David decreed for the first time, that thanks be given to the Lord by Asaph and his relatives. It was Asaph and his family who were primarily responsible with others for providing this worship every day at this ark. I'm trying to think of an analogy in our society. I didn't think about this until now. I don't know where we have a good analogy of that kind of daily worship. It just shows how special. There may be analogies, but it just shows how special this was. And so they indeed went to worship God and to be thankful before the ark. Now, the passage we're looking at today, and we're going to go to the New Testament for another passage, but in this psalm that David wrote, this was written, most believe, before David wrote the book of Psalms. It may have been during that time. I don't know if anybody's totally sure about that. But in all likelihood, this was very early on. They didn't have the temple yet. And David wrote a psalm particularly for this daily ritual of giving thanks and praising God and celebrating God before this ark that was in that tent. The presence of God is really what they were worshiping. And it's interesting that this is framed with thanks. The opening verse says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name." One reason I'm titling the message, "Thank God," is because I think that's where we need to begin and end with our thanksgiving. At this time of year, of course we thank God. That sort of goes without saying, but maybe it shouldn't go without saying. Maybe it ought to be fundamental to our thanksgiving. And certainly here, it began and ended this psalm that David gave to be read daily before the ark. Verse 8 says, "Give thanks to the Lord and call on his name, proclaim his deeds among the peoples." And then if you jump down to the last section, the last three verses begin with this verse: "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." It's like a framing of this psalm was thanksgiving. And in between, you have a rehearsal. You have the proclamation of the glory of God, how wonderful he is. And you also have a rehearsal of all the wonderful things he did for Israel, how they were wandering from nation to nation, and he didn't allow anyone to oppress them. He rebuked the kings on their benefit. He did not touch his anointed ones or his prophets. And God certainly had his hand upon Israel, and so they're being thankful for all of that history. Because David comes fairly far along in the history of Israel. You know, you have the call of Abraham, then you have the patriarchs, then you have the judges, then you have the first king. I mean, I'm doing an incredibly highlight thing here, but then you have Saul, who was the first king that didn't work out, and now finally David was the king on whose throne would sit one day the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise to David that he would send a king to sit forever on his throne. That's why we call Jesus the Son of David. So this is important. And here we have this wonderful psalm, and it's framed with thanksgiving. and it's thanking God. It's all about God. It's about what God did for Israel. And I just, it's really a simple lesson. I could have stood up here and said, this Thanksgiving, as you're thankful for family and food and all your blessings, and you're counting your blessings, naming them one by one, remember first and foremost and last to thank God. Okay, let's go home. I mean, that's all I really need to say. But I'm going to put a little flesh around that because I think we have some things to learn out of the Word about that reality, that it's all about thanking God. And I'm not saying that any preachers today who stand up and give a list of all the things for which we can be thankful in our nation or in our families or our town or whatever, in our churches, that's fine. Of course we can be thankful for many things. I just want to start at the beginning and highlight the most important thing. It's thanking God. Really thanking God so that it doesn't go without saying. That's an interesting phrase, go without saying. No, let's say it. Thank you, God. And we'll see how that's been true here for Israel, and it was true in the New Testament as well. So the other thing I want to point in before we move to the New Testament is how there's two more things. It turns out that you can find this psalm repeated word for word. Not every word, not every part of it. There are three sections here that you can find word for word in other psalms that David wrote. And not by accident today, when I opened the service, I read from Psalm 96 verses, I read the beginning of it. I could have read all the way to verse 13. Psalm 96, 1 to 13, is the same as 1 Chronicles 16, 23 to 33. It's the same. And if you go back to the beginning, verses 8 through 12, the one give thanks to the Lord, call, that's Psalm 105 in 1 to 15. That you find that. Maybe it's 1 to 5. It's 1 Corinthians, or it's Psalm 105. And so, and then thirdly, the last verses, 34 to 36, you find in Psalm 106. The first verse and then near the end, 47 and 48. So this psalm here, and that leads me to the third thing I want to say. They became very familiar with these words. Can you imagine doing something like, okay, Amy did the doxology. Amy, we didn't have hymn books in front of us. You didn't hand out song sheets. The words weren't projected up here on the screen. So how did we know that? A lot of you were singing it. I grew up singing it. There's other versions of it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. That's Hernando's Hideaway version of that song. But these become repetition, and that becomes part of us. And I think that's what was happening to Israel. They were hearing this every day before the ark. And so is it any wonder that as David was wrapping up the book of Psalms near the end, 96 and after, he included those same words in those Psalms. It just became a continual praising of God. It was a continuation. It was a repetition. Now, I already read to you how he ordered in verse 4, David appointed some of the Levites to be ministers before the ark of the Lord to celebrate the Lord God of Israel and to give thanks and praise Him. And then it says in verse 27, after where, or wait a second, in verse 27, wait, oh, I'm in the wrong place. He says that it's to be repeated on a regular basis. I'm sorry, I got mixed up. But there's another place where he makes it very clear that this is to be done daily. It's a daily discipline. I don't know why I'm having trouble finding that. But Oh, it is. It's 37. Sorry. I found it. I just had the wrong number. In 37, you read through 36, Amy, okay? Verse 37, here's what it says. So David left Asaph and his relatives there before the Ark of the Lord's covenant to minister regularly before the Ark according to the daily requirements. So this was regular and it was daily, okay? So it was very important and it continued. Now, this, think about music, for example, and how repeating certain music, like today when I saw the snow outside the window, and our family has a tradition of watching every Christmas, we watch White Christmas. My dad loved that. He was a World War II vet, and he loved White Christmas with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye and Rosemary Clooney, and I never can remember the other lady. What?
Vera.
Anyway, and I started the service up here going, snow. And in that movie, when the main characters were heading up to Vermont and they were on the train, which had been sort of a tricky way they all got there, deceptive way, but nonetheless they were together and they were going up to Vermont where it snowed, and they did this song about snow. And so when I saw snow today, I'm thinking of that song. Well, that's how we need to be with our Christianity. That's why music is so great, because we listen to it. You know, a few weeks ago in the message, I played Jonathan David Helzer's song, No Longer Slaves. And I just love that song. I have it on my phone, and I listen to it all the time. And it reminds me that I am a child of God. So our thanks needs to be that way. You know, when we learn a new language, it doesn't come very easily at first. When you start learning, I don't know, because I've never learned another language. But I understand from those who have that at first you start thinking about the grammar, and then you think of it in your language, and then you think of what the equivalent is in the other language. You've really learned that language when you start thinking and dreaming in that language, and when you start having a meaning in your heart that you use that language to get out of your mouth. Then you are fluent with that language. Then you know the language. That's how Thanksgiving should be for us. It should be so repeated, and we're so grateful as a matter of our heart that we just naturally give thanks. And not just in some passing phrase, as I started referring to, thank God, but a meaningful thank God. I mean, you can tell when it's meaningful. Let's say, I mean, I could give any example. Joel called me this week. He left a message. Had he called me and reached me and said, by the way, my sister Judy's home from the hospital. She's sleeping a lot, taking pain pills, but her knee surgery went well. It was only a few weeks ago she had back surgery. I know his sister Judy. She's a Methodist pastor, retired now. And if I'd have been on the phone with him, I might have said to Joel, thank God that she did okay. So that's a meaningful way to say thank God. So I'm just saying that's how it ought to be with us. We should be giving thanks to God. Now, I noticed that Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he used a repeated phrase. And it's four times. I read it in one of them in Sunday school. But the phrase is translated in the Holman, the Christian Standard Bible, but thanks be to God. And in 1 Corinthians 15:57, about the resurrection, at the end he says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And after, that's about salvation. And what I read in Sunday school today from here was in 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always puts us on display in Christ and spreads through us every place the scent of knowing him. And then later it refers to us, we're like a fragrance unto God. And let's thank God for that. Thanks be to God. And then twice regarding offerings that were taken up, he writes to the Corinthians, "Thanks be to God who put the same diligence for you into the heart of Titus." He's the one that took the offering to the Corinthians on behalf of those who had collected it. "For he accepted our urging and being very diligent went out to you by his own choice." So thanks be to God. He could have said, thanks be to Titus. He is thanking Titus, but first he thanks God. And then the fourth place where that appears is in 2 Corinthians 9, also about an offering. After an explanation about how an offering was assembled and collected and all that, he ends it with kind of an exclamation mark statement, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." That could have been thanks for the offering, or we give this offering because of the gift of Jesus Christ. But in any case, it's thanks be to God. So we need to be thanking God. And in the New Testament, there's a couple of places where this whole idea of thanksgiving can be viewed in a kind of continuing way, the way it occurred for the Jews in front of the tent with the ark there. And one such place is in 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul says to them, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate," that's being thankful, "that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another for evil with evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and all people." And then he has this like list, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." This is not a new law. This is not a list of commands that we need. I've got to rejoice. It's something that comes out of the heart, that we develop a heart of thankfulness. And it just comes out because we practice it. It becomes like our new language. We learn a language of thanksgiving. And notice when he mentions in this long list in Thessalonians about thanks, he elaborates on it. Now, I've noticed that in other places, like I look at the Ten Commandments and I see which ones he elaborated on. It doesn't make him necessarily more important than the others, but for whatever reason, he elaborated on it. And in this list, that's one he elaborated on, where he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." Then he says, "In everything give thanks." And then he adds, "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So at least there was a level of importance to giving thanks. And in a way, I think this, well, let me, before we come back to this and look at it, there's a very similar passage in Ephesians 5. Paul wrote Thessalonians and he wrote Ephesians. And in Ephesians 5, he talks about being thankful also. "Pay careful attention to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Spirit." See, that's the underlying principle here. Be filled with the Spirit. And then it becomes natural. It's not law, it's Spirit. This is not a whole new list of laws. This is a description of what it's like when we get filled with the Spirit and we flow with that new language of thanksgiving. "Speaking to one another," and he gets specific, "speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music to the Lord in your heart." You're going to see this is a matter of the heart. Giving thanks always for everything to one another and to the managers of the church and to the borough managers and to your neighbors. No. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Jesus Christ. So that thanksgiving to God is so important. And I believe we ought to say more times, thank God, but not casually, but meaningfully. And I want to wrap this up with another observation here, which I got from a Bible commentator, but I thought it was good. In that Thessalonians passage, there's really three principles. I'm just going to give you three quick principles here as to how we can take on that posture of thankfulness and what helps that happen. As he was writing to the Thessalonians, we're going back to that passage, the first verses are that we need instruction. Remember, it said, thank God for those who teach you. We sometimes need to be taught this. That's what's happening in Sunday school, at home groups, when we study the Bible, when we have teachers in the Lord. And we should esteem the people who teach us very highly because of their work. So the first thing is, let's be instructed in God's Word. Let's listen to messages like this. Let's learn how to be thankful. And then the second section, that was verses 12 to 13 in 1 Thessalonians. By the way, I don't know if I told you, I was in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 24. And the second part says, live in peace with one another, urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, no one pays evil for evil, but seek the good for everyone else. I'd say that's pointing to the fact that we need to do this together. Look how much of that has to do with being together, with encouraging others, the faint-hearted, helping the weak. That's how we can develop thankfulness, because we can be thankful for what God's doing among us as we support each other. It's a community experience. It's not something we just go to Bible school and learn and then put into our life. It's something we learn as we work together. And so the middle portion of this seems to point to that. And the final portion is really what I would call develop holy habits. It's not what the commentator I read called it, but he said that we need to have a discipline. We need to practice, as I've already described. We need to have holy habits. And it would be a holy habit to say thank God in a meaningful way when we hear about something. Thank God. And that doesn't mean we should be insincere. When I was a young pastor, I used to try to be humble. And people would come to the door in those days when I was serving in State College and when I was here, and they'd say, that was a wonderful sermon, Pastor Steve. And I'd say, oh, praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. It was him, not me. You know, well, actually, I had worked several hours. I had studied. You know, I tried to make it understandable. And I ought to just receive that and say, you're welcome. You know, thank you for thanking me. That's okay. We don't need false humility here. But what I finally decided to do was thank them and then praise God. I'd say, well, thank you so much. I'm glad you appreciated it, and praise God. So I did both. Just me thinking about me and being me. But let's have those holy habits that in everything we can give thanks, for this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And hallelujah, it's a great thing when that can happen for us. You know, when we learn another language, remember I said, what was the phrase I was saying earlier, that it shouldn't go without saying? There's a couple other phrases we use. Something becomes second nature to us. Our giving thanks should become second nature. Or there's another phrase, I had it written down, when we learn something by heart. What does it mean to learn something by heart? It means you really know it. It means it's coming from your heart. And so I would say those two phrases could be applied to how we need to just put this thankfulness in our hearts. And the final point I want to make is the original words. I talked about doxology and how that means a word of glory. The word in Greek, one word for thanks, is eucharisteo. And you hear in there Eucharist, which liturgically is referring to the communion in higher churches. So the Eucharist is really a thanksgiving to God. We're thanking God for Jesus. Next week we're going to come to communion. It's a thanksgiving to God. Eucharisto. Now, in that word is the word charis. And charis is grace, but it also means thanks. And all those verses I read to you out of Corinthians, those four quotes out of 1 and 2 Corinthians, the Greek word where it says, thanks be to God, is charis be to God. Charis be to God. In other words, grace be to God. Grace is so close to being thankful. It's extending our love. We receive grace from God and we praise Him. We bless Him. It's also sometimes translated blessing. So thanksgiving is a very broad concept and it comes from the heart. And when Paul wrote to the Romans, it's the last I'm going to say. I keep saying I'm ending. Don't you love when a pastor's ending and you wonder about why? I thought he was ending 10 minutes ago. One last thing from Paul. He was talking about the Jews and how they followed the law and how circumcision isn't really a legalistic thing. If you do it right, it can be a meaningful thing. And he ends that section in Romans 2 by saying, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. That person's praise is not from people, but from God. So God praises us and gives us hearts. Ezekiel said he would remove our hearts of stone and gives us hearts of flesh. It's a matter of the heart to thank God. Lord, thank you for all the blessings we're going to remember this week at Thanksgiving. Thank you for being with those for whom Thanksgiving will be a trial because of memories of loved ones who are no longer with us or difficulties that can happen within families. Lord, may we still be thankful to you. Thank you, Lord, that our thanks to you is not dependent on our human condition. It's dependent upon your love for us. And may we so be thankful to you in that way. And may we be more mindful to become more habitual and disciplined in our thanks to you, even as we may thank others and are thankful for many things in our lives. May we first and foremost and last and forever be thankful to you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to be honest. This has been a tough week. It's a 19-year-old kid, and my kids from camp are high school kids and young college kids, and they're just reeling, obviously. And the really neat thing has been seeing them reach out to each other and love each other. And that's what they're doing, and they're loving well. They don't know how to cope. I don't know how to cope. I mean, it's a 19-year-old. But they're loving each other, and they're even letting some of us adults in, which is, we're very, yeah. So I got to spend yesterday morning with two of the cousins of this kid, and they've all been raised like siblings. I mean, they're a ridiculously close family, and including the extended family, and nobody in this church knows what that's like. And I was with the cousins, and they asked me to come over and just kind of hung out. And I'm like, you know what? It's okay to be angry. It's okay to cry. It's also okay to laugh. And while we were there, they were looking at pictures, of course, to make the picture boards and laughing at the memories. And I'm good friends with the one mom, and I just told her about that. I'm like, you know, your kids laughed earlier today. And she's like, it's the first day they didn't cry. And I'm like, okay, like, it's cool if they cry. She's like, no. She's like, it just was nice to hear that from them again. She's like, I don't know how we're going to survive this week because of the funeral and because of Thanksgiving the day after. She's like, but we're trying to figure out thankfulness. And so I'm very thankful for this message because I've been struggling with it too. So this is, it couldn't have been more relevant, more timely. So this is Psalm 100, which is a song I think we used to sing here a million years ago, and I know we sang it at camp, which is where this kid was from. So here we go. It's a go and do this kind of thing that David wrote. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations.
Amen. God bless you, Amy. You know, Laura and Brian Davis lost a 20-year-old similarly, and it was, I'm trying to remember how long ago it was, but she was at Bible study this week at our house and saying how incredibly painful it still is. So it is difficult, and yet God is faithful somehow through it all. So thank you for that, and God bless you as you bless them. That word charis also means bless. So we do that for the Lord. Let's rise if you're ready. When I say if, that if you're not ready to just pop up, you're okay to stay seated. We're flexible. There's part of the passage in Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, I didn't read. I saved it till now. It comes right after those three lessons, you know, the instruction and the community and the forming of habits. And then he ends this section with these words. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Go in peace, and the peace of God go with you.